Our scripture today is from the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 to 39. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible or up on the screen or your Bible at home. Let's pray before we begin reading this. Lord, we ask for your spirit to be with us as we read your word, as we go into the Bible which you have given to us to light our path, to show us the way, to help us know who you are and your desire for us. We pray that our hearts are open, our ears are open, our minds are open to receive this glorious gift. We pray also for your mercy to be upon the sermon, that in the expounding of your word, we ask you for your mercy, that it may be what you want us to hear, and for your glory alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 1, verse 29 to 39. Hear now God's word. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. One of the questions today is, why say yes, or why say yes when no is so much easier? This isn't always the case, mind you, but it's a case in a lot of different times. Give you an example that just happened yesterday. A week ago, Jonathan got the opportunity to go snowboarding with some friends up at Laurel Mountain ski resort. You just go towards Ligonier and then keep on going another 15 or 20 minutes, and it's just on the right-hand side of that. Beautiful up there. But he enjoys snowboarding, and he wanted to go this weekend. And so he asked Stephanie, and Stephanie wasn't able to. She already had plans. He asked me, and I said, "No, ask your brother." So he asked his brother, and he said no, and so he was willing to go by himself without any issues, but I didn't want him to, especially for his first time on his own snowboarding. So I said yes, as much as I wanted to stay home and just kind of enjoy whatever was at home, which meant like no snow. There's no snow at home, but in Laurel Mountains, there's all this snow. But I'm so very glad I went to hang out with Johnny to watch him snowboard. We got there at 5-ish and stayed till like 9-ish. And I got time to work on the sermon. I got time to read a book. Got time to do some puzzles, listen to some music, talk to my brother. And it was just such a nice time. If I would have said no, I would have never experienced it. But sometimes it's so easy to say no. Because oftentimes when we do say yes, things change. If someone wants something from us, if someone is looking for something, if someone needs help or whatever the case is, and we say yes, then our lives, our plans, the things that we know so well are different. whatever it might be. For our example that we did with Johnny, if I would have said no, everything would have stayed just the same. My plans for that day would have been the same. What I would eat for dinner would have been the same. It all would have been within the realm of my current reality. But in saying no, things, I've never been to Laurel Mountain before. I had to find the way to get there, which honestly with GPS is easy these days. I had to drive an hour out there. I had to be in a place I've never been before amongst people I've never known before. All this is different to my life. And when you change your life, it's intimidating. It's just easier to let things be. But boy, am I glad for those opportunities in my life and in others to say no, or to say yes, which we actually had. And when we look at Jesus' life and story here in the scripture we just read, we see opportunities to say no, but instead yes was said and lives were changed. This is one of Jesus' very first outings to the synagogue doing teachings, and he called James and John and Simon and Andrew. These are his first disciples. Pretty much that's all he's got at this point. So they teach in Simon's hometown, where Jesus called Simon, and Simon and Andrew, and again, James and John. And so as a base of operation, they go to Simon's house. Makes sense. I live here. Come to my home. And so while he got there, Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus healed her. Now, one of my favorite times to say no is when I'm sick. Don't ask me to do things when I'm sick. I mean, I say that in a general sense because I don't want that to happen. Because, well, one, I don't want to get you sick. And two, it's just so nice not to do anything when you're sick. Gone are those wonderful days when your mother came upstairs to wake you up for school and like, it's school time. And you're like, I'm sick. And those days were fantastic. Even though you were sick, I got to lay on the couch in front of the television, and Mom put that towel right on the edge of the couch, you know, so if I vomit, I don't get the couch all dirty. And there's the bucket right below the couch with like the inch of water, you know, to catch the vomit in. And yet I got to watch TV, and when my stomach felt better, I got some good homemade food from my mom. And my mom just fussed over me all day long, and those days are gone. I mean, I get sick now, we get sick now, and we still got stuff that need done. But it's so much nicer to say no when you're sick. And then when you get better, you still want to say no because, well, now you feel better to do those things that you neglected while you were sick and got all that stuff that needs done. But Simon's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus healed her, and she felt better. And in the midst of the gratitude of feeling better, she served them, took care of them as she was taken care of. And in doing that, she served God himself. And the blessings that she had that day, she may not have even known until much, much later. And then we get Jesus now. After Simon's mother-in-law waited on them, and when the sun went down, in response to Jesus' teachings, the whole town brought Jesus there sick and they're demon-possessed. Jesus said yes to them and started healing them and taking care of them and teaching them and helping them during this time. And so many people were healed, and they loved him for it and appreciated who he was. Jesus went to bed. We assume he went to bed late. And then he woke up, it says, very early in the morning while it was still dark. To my ears, this phrase is wrong, so I'm going to rephrase it. He woke up later that night while it was still dark. It's not morning until the light's up, so I don't understand what that's all about. But very early in the morning, it was still dark. Jesus got up and he went off to a solitary place to pray. I always wondered what was on Jesus' mind when he was praying during this time. His ministry just started, and it It's doing great. He preached in the synagogue, and due to his preaching, people started coming to him and giving him the sick and demon-possessed. He was able to show God's power to these people. His first foray into the ministry field was successful. So maybe he was going out to God to say, what now? Or, can't I stay here? Everything's going so great. I can build a church here. We can grow. I can show your love to these people. Or maybe he said, Lord, I don't know what to do next. Should I stay here? Should I go? I mean, things are going well here. We got a base of operations here. I should stay. God spoke to him, presumably, and said, this isn't what you're called for. You're not called just for one people, one place. You're called for all people in as many places as possible. Jesus could have said, no, we're finding success here. Let's stay with that. Things are great. Why rock the boat? As his disciples came out and came looking for him, Simon and his companions are not even called disciples at this point. It's just so early in Jesus' ministry. They said to him, everyone is looking for you. Jesus, you're slacking on your job. You got to take care of these people. What are you doing way out here? Jesus responds, let's go somewhere else. Right now, from that spot, let's leave somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. Imagine if Jesus stayed. Imagine if he said no to God's calling and stayed in that one place. Christ probably would have had a great ministry right there. Would have had a huge church of like 100 people. I don't know how many people are in this village. Word would have spread a little bit to the other villages. Maybe other people would have came to him and heard him teach, and maybe their lives would have changed. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan wasn't just to bless Simon's village. God's plan was to bless the entire world. And in order for that plan to happen, Christ had to say yes to something different. Had to move and walk to another place. Had to share the message to new people that he didn't even know. Jesus had to go. And because Christ said yes, we meet here today in Trafford. We are affected by Jesus' love because Jesus said yes to moving to another town, to another place. Now, there are serious, important times in your life to say no. No is a necessity at times. There are times where we are not supposed to do something. There are times where we can't do something for different reasons. But sometimes our no comes a bit too quick. And we haven't thought about it. We haven't prayed about it. We really haven't given it a chance. So sometimes we go off and pray. And when we do this and we think about it, the no stays a no. Because Jesus isn't ready for us to do that yet. Sometimes when we go off and pray about it, think about it, it sticks, it crawls, it grows, we start getting that feeling that maybe God's calling me to say yes this time. Maybe God wants me to do something different, go somewhere different, to experience something different. For much of my life, it's always been so easy to say yes because I never wanted any, or to say no because I never wanted anything to change. I like the way things are. I like knowing that when I go home, it's my family there. I like knowing that Aldi's has the best prices on most things. So that's where I'll go because that's what I know. Someone tells me, hey, you know, this place has better food and better prices. Well, I don't know that. I know, but I do know Aldi's. It's so hard to change, and those are just the little things. But when we say yes, oftentimes things do change. But the blessings that we receive and the blessings that we give through that are innumerable. One of the things in my life that many of you know very much so to be the case is that I like things the way that they are in a lot of different areas, especially my home. My house is my sanctuary. It's the place where I go and just be me. And yet, I got a couple of people in my family who love to share that house with anybody, it seems. And when we first moved here in 2014 and 2015, we got the opportunity to be part of AFS and get a boy. Well, we thought it was a girl at the time, but then she couldn't come, and then we got Mattia. And I said yes, not just because of Jesus, mostly because of Jesus, but also because I have a hard time saying no to Stephanie, because she's a great blessing in my life. And in saying yes, we've now hosted 6 different students, one for emergency care, a nephew who needed help, a cousin who needed help. And through all that time, though, none of it's been super easy, and all of it has given us challenges and fits and arguments at one time or another, we've been blessed more than we even realize. And so have they. Their lives have been blessed in different ways, too. And in no small part because of you. You have been able to bless the lives of the students that have come here. They have seen the love of Jesus Christ, because in a moment of weakness or clarity, I don't know what it was, we said yes. And because of that yes, Christ has blessed all of us. And I do think in many different ways, Jesus uses that yes, that willingness. We talked about the kids, to do things beyond our imagination. There are times to say no, absolutely. But I pray that we're not so quick, that we pray about these things. And even if it's hard, but we feel God kind of prodding us in that direction, that we do say yes. And then we get ready to prepare blessings that we've never known, because our lives will change for God's glory. Amen. So as we march, share with you this benediction today from Romans 12, 9-13. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, and extend hospitality to strangers. This we do in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Go in peace.